set up here, and then we'll... Yeah, that was good. It's great to be here. Question. Why? Now, I want somebody who is in the process of learning English. Why did he give me a glass of water? Come on, don't be shy. Why? No! Come on now. Why? Pardon me? Can you hear you? What's it? What? There's a bobby? I'm looking for another answer.
I think it's speaking your throat dry down.
Pardon me?
It's speaking your throat becomes dry.
Okay. So you're all wrong. Because they do not want a dry sermon. You like that? I thought it was a good tiebreaker. Yeah. I know what you're asking for, right? So there was no wrong answer. Good. Well, here we are. I love to be here. As you can see, I love Park Fred Biden Chapel. I love the people here. I honestly do. And I love to be invited here. And you've had some very good speakers. I don't know who gets your speaker, but I was looking at it this week, and I was looking at it. Ellie Nessam's son, David, Daniel Nessam, and Mark Robinson. You've got Harold Clausen. And wow, I hope you're enjoying Ezra. Yes? Good, because Ezra's one of my favorite books, believe it or not. I like a lot of books in the Bible, of course, but Ezra is one of the best. What is Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 said? It's my verse, lemma, my verse that I put up in my office. What, somebody want to read it? Ezra 7, 10.
For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes.
That's my goal in life, to teach the Word of God in the world. I've been to 79 countries, and I've preached the Word in most of those countries, and my goal is to study the Word of God and to try to put it in practice, because I tell people it's really easier to preach than to practice. Is that right? Yeah. Most preachers wouldn't say that, but I'm being honest. And coming here, I enjoy the fellowship. So here we are. We're going to look at Ezra chapter 4. You've done chapter 1, 2, 3, and today we're going to chapter 4. There's a the particular study here, and we're going to do that. A little pedantic. And I don't know anybody here's relationship in your business, in your marriage, in any of those. But we're going to be talking about something a little difficult. But you look at the verses and you judge for yourself. Because I don't want to preach something that's out of the Bible. Okay, ready? Here we go. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. Imagine you are starting a great project for God. You're planning to do your chapel like you did. Didn't you do a good job, Jim? Beautiful. The job you did here around the chapel, painted everything. The only thing is the website is old, but I won't put anything to do with Jonathan. Nobody knows Jonathan, so I can say that. Can you imagine? You'd want to make a beautiful job here. So a contractor comes, and he says, and he has a terrible reputation, this contractor. And you say, well, he wants to help you. He's going to do it free. Not free. Free, F-R-E-E. Because sometimes you say free, and they think you say free. But it's free. Can you imagine? What would you say? Sure, praise God. God has provided someone to come. But the fellow's got a bad reputation. In the business world, nobody likes him. And here we want to come to Park Press to help Park Press, to join with Park Press and help. And people who know him wonder, why Park Press using a fellow like that? He's this, he's that, and he's the other thing. Well, that's what happened here. Let's just read this again to you. Read it along with me there. Okay? Imagine you're starting a great project for God. The people who don't fully follow can offer to join in. At last, you might say, extra help. This must be of God. But sometimes help that looks good on the surface can compromise God's work. Today, we're going to look at Zerubbabel and Joshua, the response, and how it teaches us to guard the purity of God's work in our lives, our church, and our mission. So we're going to be looking at verses chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3. Now, let's have somebody else read that to us. Would somebody like to get up? Don't be shy. We're a family here. We're part of the family of God. Who would like to read chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3? Just three verses. There's only three or four bad words in there, and you can sort of just go and quickly, you know. Not bad words, it's just difficult words. Who's going to read it for me? Thanks. Are you going to read it? Thanks a lot. Yeah, please. Yeah, you can read nice and loud. Go ahead. That nice and he offered.
For the enemies of Judah and then heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel, to the house of the fathers of his son. Let us tell us to deal with it. Was like you receive the God and have put a time for us to get in the time from Erfana, king of Gazara, who brought us here. But see around them, and the rest of the heads of the kind of official answers. You have no part with us, and you have no part with one God. We are all the ones working for the Lord, the God of Israel. As King Cyrus, the conqueror, granted us. And the peoples around us set out to discourage the people of Judah, and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against the frustrated plans during the towering Cyrus King of Persia and down to the Darius River.
Wow, they came, it says there, and then the people around them set up to discourage them. See, they wanted to help. They said they were part of worshiping God, and they wanted to help. And of course, Joshua and Zerubbabel, they didn't want him to because they weren't a part of the Israelites. Now, what are we getting at? Let's look here. Here we go. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It is a biblical command, primarily found in 2 Corinthians, meaning that believers should not form intimate relationships or deep partnership with non-believers, as their fundamental spiritual values and goals will clash, leading to compromise, conflict, and spiritual ignorance to the believer. The metaphor of the yoke refers to the wooden beam that joins two animals, like oxen, for work. If the animals were unequal in strength, the partnership is inefficient and harmful, pulling them off their intended path. So this is what they're talking about. This is what. Can you imagine a horse and a donkey? Or an oxen and a donkey? Or an oxen and a horse? An oxen and a... It just wouldn't work. One would be... And the other... It wouldn't work. And I mean, this is there you go. When I was up there, I put the Indians. I went to the Andy Mountains six times, 2,000 miles from where I was living. I went six times to help build a school for the Mapuche Indian. And one day, the guy gave me the thing. He showed me how to direct oxen. And they had these on. That's a yoke. So what it says here, we read the verse again, it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what? And what fellowship can light have with darkness? what harmony is there between Christ and Baal? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Now, this goes over to, I know when I was young, I went to Gaspé Gospel Chapel, Gaspé Church, and they preached to us young people. I mean, I was looking for a cute little, I was looking for a little, boy, I mean, high school, I was pretty good looking then, I was thin, that's a long time ago. But they always told us, don't be unequally yoked, which means that don't go out with non-Christians. Because if I married a non-Christian, and I was a Christian, what fellowship would that have? I want to go to church. She doesn't want to go to church. I want my children to go to Sunday school. She doesn't want my children to go to Sunday school. I know this is piquant. I know this is difficult, but it's biblical. It's biblical. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And in business, too. If I was to do business, I would not go into business joined in with somebody who didn't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they would say, well, we have a account here. Yeah, there's our account. Because an unbeliever would say, well, we don't have to put that in our income tax. We'll just sort of just not mention that. Where the believer would say, we have to mention that. Can I give you an example? One example? I live in Burnaby. I have a nice house. I bought it 43, 44 years ago. It's mine. Okay? The fence between myself and my neighbor was rotten. My neighbor, really nice guy, not Singapore, China, but in Hong Kong. He came from Hong Kong. Real super guy. Nice guy. Canadian. Yeah. So he wanted to build a fence. And he said, well, what happened to that? I said, I don't need a fence. I really don't. If you go to my house, everybody in the alley has fences that close and open. I don't have it. I don't need it. I want people to come into my yard. I want to tell them about Jesus. So anyway, after 6 months of this, we call it enchanto, believe me about it. People said to me, God, you should do it as a Christian. You should do half and half with your neighbor. So I went half and half, $5,000. But it was craftsman, beautiful. So it was done. So then the guy comes knocking on the door about 2 weeks later, on the door, and they were from India. They had the turbans on, really nice guy, and we'd be in a smart aleck. I said, well, they can get from a set of stomach and eat those amigos. And you know what they said? One of them said to me, boy, man, he was dead. He'd been in Spain. So anyway, he changed to English because my neighbor was there, and so we talked about the price. And the guy said, okay, it's $2,500 each. He said, if you pay me cash, I will not charge you the taxes. Yeah, are you with me? If you pay me cash, you don't have to pay the 7% of what it is called the 7%. Well, I said, as a Christian, I said, well, I have to pay the tax. I'm a Canadian. And the other fellow said, well, I'm a Canadian too. I said, but we have to pay tax after law. And then I thought, I better shut up. So I paid mine. He did. See what I mean? Now, that's what about unequally yoked together. We didn't argue about it. He didn't pay tax, so he paid $2,500 like that. I paid $2,500 plus tax. Are you with me? That's an example. Okay? I was tempted. Don't worry, you listen. I won't be. I think it was an account. What is tax of $250? Was it $125 or $250? Anyway, I had to pay it. I paid it. So that's what this said. This is what we have here at this thing. So here we go. There we go. Unequally yoked. Here we are. There's a donkey with the oxen. It just won't work. And a Christian with a non-Christian will not work. I know so many beautiful, beautiful people that have problem in their homes because one is a Christian, one isn't. Of course, a lot of homes are in trouble too with two Christians. It's not a magic thing, but there's less chance. So I married a Christian girl who loved Jesus, and we've been married for 59 years. Praise God. Good, I like that. Praise God. Yes, he kept us together. So that's what it says here in the verse. Okay, let's carry on. There's the mark. Oh, see, there's two watts. Now, that'll work. That'll work. Because you got both got the same strength. Both go, then they'll go together. Just like my wife and I, we go together. If I was in business and a person, like a building defense idea, they wouldn't go together because one wouldn't want to pay taxes, one would put all the money in the pocket right here and not pay taxes. And what are you going to do about that? It's hard. Okay, compromise. That's what it is. It costs compromise. They refuse then. Good. They refuse the help of this other group because that would be a compromise. They would be compromising the purity of the work and the worship of God. Now, when we read the text again, we'll look at it. This group was, I mean, they were there. They said they loved God. Oh, we'll read it after. The offer might have seemed helpful at the time. On the surface, wow, they've come to help us. But spiritually, it posed a danger, a potential blending of true worship with false worship. We have to obey what the Bible says. We mustn't compromise. I trouble with that. I want to win people to the Lord. They'll say, Ryan, let's go have a beer. Okay, I like it. Okay. Maybe I'm not invited again, but anyway. But I won't go because just the company and the place you go to have a beer. You go to a pub and they get one beer, two beers, three beers, four, five, and they just keep going on. I remember when I was about 30, played on a baseball team in Quebec. I was a missionary in Quebec for 12 years. And after the game, they all went to the pub. I went to the pub too. And they stand up on the table and they go, bloop, 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 bloop. You know what I did? I stood on the table and had a bottle of milk. And I go, bloop, 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 bloop. What a fantastic bottle of milk. But anyway, that's what I done. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. And they saw that I wouldn't take a beer, I wouldn't get drunk with them, but I did want to be with them so I could tell them about Jesus. I didn't want to be a stick in the mud. That's difficult. That's gotta be careful compromise. I have to be very careful. We all have to be. The text called them adversaries, not partners. Pray for discernment before joining with people or groups in ministry or personal decisions. We've got to recognize that God will help us if we said no to somebody who wants to be a partner with us. You have to do it delicately. You have to do it friendly. You have to tell them, no, really, I don't feel right. I don't feel right. Well, that's why we have to be careful. That's what we have to do. Now, let's look at these people. Okay. Because you've got to have discernment. Should I go with that girl? She's good looking. I can win it to the Lord. That's what they all say. I can win it to the Lord. I go up with her, have some day, tell them about Jesus, take her to young people. But there's no assurance that she's going to receive the Lord. You have to have discernment. I used to sing, I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. And that's what this guy's standing at. Should he go to the left or should he go to the right? We need help from God to have discernment. And I don't always have discernment, but I'm asking God to have discernment. So, recognize the source of help, discernment. As I said, the text called them adversaries, not friends. They claim to worship the same God by their history, showing a mixed religion. This group, these people, they had a mix of religions. And yes, they worship God, but they also worship idols. And they were involved in having children sacrificed. But they said it. You see, we're going to get a verse here. I think it's in here. 2 Kings 17, 29-33. Let's turn it into that in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 17, 29-33. I want you to get a picture of this because these people sounded very good. I'm telling you, they worship God. They worship God, it said. Okay, we got it. 2 Kings 17. And here's what it said. But every nation still made God of its own and put them in the shrine of the high place that the Samaritans had made. So they made, this is referring to these people, this king and people in this under him. And it says here that they made, and then you go down to verse 33, they also feared God. It says they also feared God. It says it twice, okay. Look at verse 33. So they feared the Lord, but also served other gods after the manner of the nation from amongst whom they had been carried away. So I mean, they have double standard. We can't have double standard. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And we're going to go to the balance. And I would say, if you're in any type of situation now that you have to make a choice, I say choose Christ. You can serve. And if you're a young person here and you're looking for a wife, the best place is the church, that's for sure. And there's other things too, but did you see that? Okay? They also feared the Lord and appointed from amongst themselves all sorts of people as priests of the high places, who sacrificed them in the shrines of the high places. So do you think Joshua did a good thing by saying, no, I don't want you ill? I think so. He didn't want the Israelites to be mixed with this mixed smash. Man-made religion, God-given revelation, blend together, use practice, it won't work. Biblically, it won't work. Humanly speaking, it won't work. I've seen it over and over. I've seen friends of mine going to business with people, friends of theirs that don't know the Lord. And it turned out terrible many times. I've seen many young men get married to a non-Christian. And the divorce in 3, 4, 5 years, the divorce. You can't mix water with oil. Oh, that's good. Anyway, can't do it. Okay. So, guard the purity of worship, holiness. The temple was the center of pure worship. It had to be undefiled. Partnership with idolaters would risk synchronizing truth and error. So you got to choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I had to put this in. I was in Toronto this week. And take a look at this guy. Look at his credentials. Wonderful, wonderful Christian that goes to an assembly in Ontario. Wonderful Christian. He works in Oxford. And he was talking about something that we don't talk too much yet, but we're going to talk about AI. And I'm intrigued by Ahab. And as he said, it's very, very dangerous. He said, there's some good in the eye, but there's a lot of danger. So I'm saying this because let's not join ourselves with AI and be a part of it as a partnership in all that we do. And he was absolutely awesome. He was, I think, about an hour talking about AI, and he just sat there and rambled on. It was so enlightening. And he said, as a Christian, he uses AI, but with cuidado, with carefulness. Don't get trapped. Wi-Fi is wonderful. Pages on Wi-Fi are fantastic. But we have to be careful. We don't get drawn in to something that's not Christian. It might sound Christian like this to these people. There's the temp. They're building. Oh, you know, they're all working there. Oh, boy. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have another 50 people there working? No. He said, no. He said, we will not have them come and help us. Application. In our lives, we must guard our worship. Avoid compromise with sin or false teaching. Compromise. In our lives, we must guard our worship, false teaching. Examine your influences. Media, be careful with the media. Friends, teachers, are they leading you towards holiness or compromise? Now, which path are they going? Which path are they going? Having become, we've got to be careful of compromise. See, I want to bring people to Jesus. But sometimes, you know, it's harder because, you know, you want to sort of compromise. So you can win them to the Lord. But no, I'm well. And I've fallen flat on my face a few times. Challenge. Examine your influences. What are you being influenced by? Being media? That means web pages and all that stuff. Like for me to do this message, I checked with John McCarthy. I checked with Dr. Jeremiah. I checked, but I didn't go over there. That guy, I don't know yet. But that was over there. Ooh, he sounded good, but I don't know. That didn't sound quite right. What he's saying about Ezra. We have to be careful. So what are we being influenced by? Friends, I like when people, and it's happened, when people phone me up and say, well, Ron, you said this on Sunday morning at our church. What did you mean? I like that. I'm open. I want to be transparent. And if I say anything that you're not agreeing with, tell me. I'm a teacher in a school. I mean, all that's going on in school today, I thank God I don't have any children going to school. Are they leading you towards holiness or are they leading you towards compromise? Who is influenced here? Obedient. Obedient. So Zerubbabel said, we alone will build. We alone will build. They stood to God's plan and the authority of God's provision. They were wise. They were obedient. They followed what God told them to. God told them how to build a kingdom, and they did it. Once again, there's God's way and my way. God's work must be done God's way, not according to a convenient or popular opinion. Stay faithful to the scriptures. even when compromise seems easier or faster. There you are. You got chips? And I mean, am I going to go there? Or am I going to go there? God, what do you want me to do? Am I going to buy that? Or am I going to buy that? God, show me which one I should buy. And with everything in life, God wants our total being, 100%. So we have to stand here at the crossroads, and we've got to go God's way, or are we going to go my way? Am I going to go God's way, or am I going to go the world's way? These are practical theology. This is important that we follow that. Zerubbabel and Joshua teaches us that success in God's work is not just about completing the task. They would have completed the task earlier. They might have even done a better job. But it wasn't God's way. And they teach, that's what Ezra is teaching them. It's about staying faithful to God's way, not my way. True victory is not measured by how fast we run. I mean, I think some people preaching. Noah preached for 120 years. How many conversions did he get? Nada. Again, nothing. But he kept preaching because that's what God told him to do. But by how faithful we build is the important thing. It's our faithfulness that God wants. That's what it's doing. Call to action. Ask God to give you discernment. Wait, what? Ask God to discern. Purify your worship and remove anything that competes with God. Commit to obey God's word even when it costs you. I trust that this message has been very practical but very important, because here we are in the Old Testament, in Ezra chapter 3, and he's telling us the same things that said in the New Testament. Be ye not under the yoke with unbelievers. It's in the old, it's in the new. Well, I will continue praying for you, and I hope you pray for me. You need the practice, I need your prayers. I need practice, I'll pray for you too. Okay? Oh, yes. You got it? I hope so, because I think that's a very important message. Do you want me to close in prayer, or are you going to give a talk?
Close in prayer.
Okay. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. Lord, we just understand it's so easy sometimes to compromise our beliefs. Sometimes it's easier to go there than to stay here, or to do this rather than to do that. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, the precious name of Jesus, to help us discern, help us not to compromise, help us to be different in this world. Help us, Heavenly Father, to stand up for Jesus. Help us, Heavenly Father. We want to be like Jesus, that he's our model. No one else can model our life after. No sports person, political person, nobody. But with Jesus, we can try to follow his way. And that's the only way. Bless each and every one here, Heavenly Father. Bless them, guide them, direct them in your zone. And we'll give you all the glory in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.